Welcome, everyone, to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Data Power SOA Appliances and the NFS Protocol. This call is being recorded. Today's presenters are Matthias Seibler, Trey Williamson, and Paul Magani. Matthew is a Data Power Level 3 engineer. He has many years of experience working with the Data Power SOA appliances and provides worldwide customer support for the product. Trey Williams and Paul Magani are Level 2 support engineers. They also have years of experience working with Data Power SOA appliances and provide worldwide customer support for the product. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Paul.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. Kathy, can we please go into the next slide? Okay, folks. An agenda for the presentation. We're going to go over the NFS, just an overview of the NFS protocol, its pros and cons, the use of the NFS protocol as pertaining to a multi-protocol gateway, multi-step actions, the URL open extension function, log targets, local file system. The Polar and B2B we don't have a slide for, but we can briefly talk to that. Then we're going to look at precautions when used with Data Power. We'll start with then we'll end with a summary, and then we'll turn it back over to Kathy for questions and answers. So, Kathy, if you could please go to the next slide. Okay, folks. So, basically, by using NFS, a user can access files whether reading or writing to over a network. There's an NFS service running on the server that will interact with the NFS client implementation. So, in essence, a user can interact with files as if they resided on local storage. The NFS protocol has been around for quite some time now, since 1984. It is an open standard and allows anyone to implement the protocol. Kathy, if you'd be so kind just to go to the next screen. Next slide. Yes, so there are a few versions and variations. There's NFS version 2, there's version 3, there's now version 4. Basically, version 2 was just initially just worked over UDP. Then came NFS version 3, which allowed for working with very large files, files like in the order of larger than 2 gigabytes. There have been some other improvements. One is the ability for asynchronous writes, which can help on the write performance aspect. There's a reader plus operation to get file handles and attributes along with the file names when you're scanning a directory. NFS 4 came after version 3 and had additional performance improvements as well as stronger security mandates. Now, there've been some other extensions specifically to version 2 and version 3, which allow NFS to integrate more easily into web browsers and to enable operation through firewalls. So that's just a brief overview. And the next slides, I'd like to turn it over to my colleague, Trey, who's going to talk about the pros and cons. So, Kathy, next slide, please.
Thanks, Paul. Well, when I'm referring to pros and cons, I'm referring simply to the pros and cons, not of the versions of NFS, but of the use of NFS on the Data Power appliance. Some of the pros and cons I'm going to talk about are going to refer to the different versions of NFS or depend upon the different versions of NFS. So please, if you have some questions, feel free to ask them, bring them up, put them in the chat. Basically, secure ports. I get this question quite often in support. People treat or want to treat NFS as in ways similar to LDAP. This is LDAP has a non-secure, non-encrypted port. Y'all may be aware of 389 and typically an encrypted connection over port 636. NFS, is, at least in the context of the data power appliances, we don't encrypt our channels. We use just as the version 4 protocol of NFS supports, we do offer the authorization authentication methods and mechanisms within the NFS version 4. So we'll mention that a bit later. There's also as far as secure ports go, really the NFS version 4 is where your good benefits are going to come in. You're going to start talking over TCP as opposed to UDP. You're going to get that stateful protocol. You're also going to be able to use the authentication authorization methods, mechanisms built into that protocol version as well. I will point out that when it comes to security with NFS, I don't know if anyone here, there's a lot of sharp folks on the list. I'm looking at the participants. If you've ever looked at RFC before, there's always a little blurb at the top of every RFC protocol that includes descriptions of the word must, may not, should not, shall not, recommend, may, optional. So there are interpretations of the protocol by vendors that may vary that you may run into, quite simply. So just wanted to point that out when it comes to folks asking about secure ports. Soft timeout. A soft timeout is, the choice of words is a difficult thing. Within the appliance, within the data power appliance model, there are two types of mounts, a hard mount and a soft mount. There is a retransmission timeout that is functioning for the soft mount type. So it's quite often called a soft timeout. Hard mounts, just like it sounds, the mount type changes. It invokes a blocking action for pretty much every operation, and it never times out. It's going to indefinitely retry its NFS operations. I will stop for a second saying, Matthias, if you or Paul have anything you want to chime in, please feel free. When I start talking about the pros and cons of this, though, the security methods depend upon the versions, the timeouts depend upon the mount type, and when it comes down to it, the mount type is really where we're going to have to make some difficult decisions with how NFS is used within the context of the appliance. When it comes to NFS actions, any operation by that protocol and by the NFS protocol on a hard mount is a blocking action. whether you're doing a dir, put, any type, basically any operation for an NFS is going to be a blocking action. If you're using this within a context of a transform action, doing a read or write via some operation, it's a blocking action. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in a later slide as well when we get down to precautions. A soft mount, though, it's just as it sounds. It'll reduce the impact of the appliance if there is an issue reading or writing to the NFS. Data may be lost. We will time out after we've retried, but it will not halt the appliance. It will not impact the appliance as greatly as a hard mount. A hard mount is going to make sure that the data put occurs, that the data does take place without continuing. But a hard mount also ensures that if there is some failed activity with the NFS, reading, writing, communication, confirming that the write occurred, it's basically going to block. It's going to block any activity on the appliance. And quite often, if something happens to the NFS mount, data power is not going to continue. Data is not going to be lost. But the appliance may see this as no other course of action to take other than to reload the firmware to clear this blocking state. Some of the folks on this may have seen or heard the term watchdog used many times to refer to this type of recovery. The appliance basically will wait minutes, see if the NFS action is completed. If it hasn't, it's going to reload the firmware and continue on. The hard and soft mount is the biggest pro and con question you're going to have to ask yourself. The other ones are going to fall in place after you make that selection with the mount type and the protocol version. Next slide, please.
Actually, I'm sorry, Trey, if I can just jump in one more.
Certainly.
It's about that previous slide regarding the ports. There's an additional wrinkle to be aware of when talking about the secure ports, which is that initial versions of NFS would often restrict on which ports the client could come in on. not the ports open on the server, but actually the ports that the client used to open the connection on the client side. And these were typically restricted to the first 1024, the first 1,000 ports, with the expectation that the OS on the client side would only allow access to those ports to the proper users. Now, on Data Power, we do restrict the client to use those low number ports. On the server side, the restriction is an option that has been lifted for many implementations, but to be conservative, our client implementation restricted use of those lower number ports so we can interoperate with the most number of servers. The problem for that, however, is then that if you define a large number of NFS mounts, NFS static mounts, then you can potentially start running out of those low number ports. Now, there is 1,000. Some of them might be used for other protocols, so you do have a fairly large number, but it is possible we have seen that some people define very many static mounts, and then they end up running short on those ports. That's why, in general, if you are going to use static mounts, it would be best to try and consolidate them in the default domain if it's possible at all. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Can we go on to the next slide then? Okay, so I guess at this point we're going to talk a little bit about the implementation of how Data Power uses NFS. There's a number of different ways. Part of the multi-protocol gateway, both on the back end and the front end, as part of multi-step for the URL open extension function for log targets and also for local file system access. Okay, next slide, please. Sorry. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the multi-protocol gateway. As you are all probably aware, multi-protocol gateway is very powerful for being able to bridge different protocols in several different ways. And NFS can tie into that in a couple different options. The most straightforward way is, of course, as a backend for the multi-protocol gateway. And you would do this by defining a particular URL, a specific string that we have a format that we've defined for writing to the back end. And you can do this either with the pre-existing static mount or potentially using dynamic mounts on the back end. This would allow you to either put a file, which is most typically done, so that you can take data from one other protocol, such as an HTTP post, and then write it to a remote file system on the back end. you can also use this option to read data, though that is not as often used. Now, on the front side, the multi-protocol gateway offers a front-side polar for the NFS protocol. And the way that this works is ultimately interesting. The polar will basically attempt to read from a specific directory on the NFS server, and it has a polling interval that it uses where it will go and look out on the server once every 10 seconds or 20 seconds or a minute or however you configure it. And that configuration option, of course, is a trade-off between the more often you pull, the higher the load is on the server. Also on the Data Power, though, Data Power really doesn't mind the load so much. Of course, the less often you pull, the load is less on the server, but then you will have a longer latency between dropping files on the server and having them get picked up by Data Power. When you're pulling, we'll get a file listing from the server, and then we will apply a regular expression pattern matching to try and see which files that match. For each file that matches, we will spawn off a new Data Power multi-protocol gateway transaction. The file will be temporarily renamed so that we don't accidentally grab the same file twice. And from that point on, the regular multi-protocol gateway configuration applies. We'll move on into the request rule and run through that as normal. When the poller is finished running the request response rule, then if desired, you can also delete the file or rename it. It can also be renamed if there's an error or some problem. One interesting point to note about polling is case of multiple data power boxes. People for a HA configuration might have several pollers, different boxes polling the same directory, so that if one box were to go down, the other box would continue to process the files. And that is a perfectly fine configuration to use, but just be aware that because there is, it's not an atomic operation to read the directory listing, apply the matching, and then rename the file. There's a potential race condition here where two different boxes can be polling the same directory. Each of them gets a file listing within a millisecond or microsecond of one another. Each decides that they both have the same pattern matching. They both are going to try and seize the same file. Only one of them will succeed. The other one will end up getting an error because it failed to seize the file. And so that's a valid configuration to use for HA, but just be aware that it will end up occasionally having errors pop up in your log, which you should be aware of so that they don't cause you unnecessary stress. Okay, I'm moving on to the next slide, please.
Slide 8.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so a couple of little caveats about using the multiple gateway and data power for NFS. One is that on the back end, what our device will do is that we will stat the file after we've written it to make sure that we got all the data down that we wanted to. And, of course, this is typically only consideration if you're using a soft mount. If you're using a hard mount, the NFS protocol will make sure that all the data gets written out to the file system. So that is handled at a lower level. Of course, as Trey mentioned before, the drawback is the hard mount will retry forever. So if you happen to have an NFS server that is on a hard mount and it goes away in the middle of while you're trying to write 100 files to that server, then all 100 of those files will sit there waiting indefinitely, trying to complete writing the data to that hard mount and end up consuming resources on the data power device, memory and CPU and so on. For a soft mount, then, of course, you'll have the timeouts that kick in eventually if the write happens to fail. And once the timeout happens, then we'll throw an error. But even if there is no timeout errors, we also do a stat on the file just to make sure that the same amount of bytes has been written as we expected to from the size of the data that we're trying to put up there. So with those two mechanisms, we can detect if there was any problems using a soft mount where data was lost and we had a partial upload. We can detect it, though, but we can't automatically remove it. That's one thing that, of course, if the server goes away, the time that you were trying to write some of that data, and then comes back, you stat, you see that there was only a partial file upload. We can note that, and you can take alerts on it, but you can't actually have any sort of automatic way to remove that file, at least not from our existing multiple gateway. Okay, next slide, please. All right, so now we're going to talk a little bit about multi-step. So there's several different ways that NFS can be used in multi-step. And these are typically what we refer to them as side calls for use in the request or the response rules. And typically this is used as a fetch action to try and read a file off of the NFS server. And The settings do allow you to do the fetch asynchronously, though that is not recommended, since if you're trying to fetch something asynchronously, it's non-deterministic then at what point in your processing policy you will end up finally getting that data. And so we recommend that you always do your fetches synchronously. It is also possible to write data out to the server during multi-step using a results action. And this can also be done asynchronously. In that case, sometimes people will be logging files to the server over NFS, and they will do this asynchronously, and they do that so that the main data flow is not slowed down by the latency it takes to write the file out to the server. And that is a good use case. It's a valid use case that we've seen people use lots of times. One caveat, though, to be aware of is that if the server does happen to be slow and you've got lots of different files trying to be written asynchronously to the server, then that can start leading to problems with memory consumption. And there's some best practices that we have come up with for ways to mitigate that, to limit the amount of memory that you can use up for a slow NFS server. And I believe at the end of this presentation we'll have some links to some articles that we talk about how to limit your risk in these types of situations. Excuse me. Okay, next slide. I believe I'll hand this over to is it Trey who's going to talk next? Yes. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was getting ahead of myself. One important point I forgot to mention about fetching is the use of caching. You can, of course, cache your fetches, and this is a good way to reduce the network latency that you might experience from trying to get the data from NFS. Okay, I'm sorry, now hand it over to Trey.
Thanks. Matthias, you mind if I just a little bit of extra information on the multi-step use? I think the caching you mentioned was referring to the use of document cache. We think it's just to mention that before the call, but that's a very, using the caching functionality is a, whenever possible, that's a highly suggested thing to use and to test. And if you have any questions or issues with that, please feel free to open a thread in the forum, open a PMR, do whatever you need to. But that functionality can definitely help. Thanks. Sorry. All right. On to the URL open. Much like I mentioned earlier, on the pros and cons of the protocol, the mount type, the fact that NFS can be blocking, Matthias has mentioned it, the URL open is an extremely powerful tool. I think probably everybody here has looked at this before. I've got some notes to talk about it, but I wanted to share some examples of how it could be done. The simple NFS URL open, you want to declare the variable, the string, you want to pass the file. You cannot define a static file name on the BPNFS URL. Something I'll also mention is you'll notice on the BPNFS URL noted, it is BPNFS:// I'm not pointing. I don't know if some of y'all have seen this before, but if you look in the file system, you may see a NFS mount name file directory created if you have an option enabled. Never use that. This will be mentioned later on. I just wanted to point out that string and make sure that that's noted on the BPNFS:// syntax. The underlying functionality is slightly different. This is the preferred method, the preferred URL to use. One of the examples I always love to show is a log action, or the log activities for a URL open action writing to NFS. I think in that test case I did a read. One of the things I wanted to point out was depending upon your log categories, what you're monitoring, your log levels, you may only get bits and pieces of the activity. If you've got a limited log target, you may not see anything more than that the file put failed if you're only looking at errors. You may not see the time that the mount opened the network file to read and the time that it failed to read it. The time delta between those two log streams can be very helpful. I don't remember anything else I wanted to mention on this, so I think we can go on to the next slide. Now, the URL open, what I wanted to mention earlier is a URL open breaks streaming, basically. It absolutely does, not just for NFS, but for any URL open functionality. So if within your processing policy you do invoke the URL open to read or write from an NFS, more than likely read from an NFS, that is a blocking action. We wait on that URL open to complete before continuing, and that read or write activity out of the processing policy does break streaming. That can impact your performance. That can, just as we noted earlier, if there's a delay, if there's a hang, if the network, the NFS, were to be in an unrecoverable state, then we could run into a watchdog type event. NFS for UR open, like I said, can read or write. It does not do request response there. You know, that's not a basic functionality of the protocol. This isn't a request response type protocol such as MQ or HTTP. URL assumes the data will be XML. Binary data could be handled as well, depending upon the configuration, but the default assumption is that the file retrieved will be in XML format. No questions or anything. I'm shocked. I think I am done with this slide. I don't have any other notes unless Matthias or Paul does. We can go on to the next one.
Okay, Trey, I can do the log targets. So, let's talk about log targets, folks. They can be configured either using the CLI or the web GUI, which we'll see on the next slide, but what needs to be mentioned is that it's not ideal to use NFS for log targets, since the reason for that is that if there's a high rate of events and the NFS protocol being somewhat heavy, if you will, some events can be dropped and thus not logged. But if you see in the middle of the screen, if you so desire to do this, that's the approach to take to configure an NFS log target via the CLI. And just note how the file path property value of /, is relative to that mount point of home /, user file name. And what has been mentioned throughout this talk is soft mounts and hard mounts. And I just wanted to mention that NFS log targets, again, should use a soft mount because if we use, not a hard mount, because there can be dropped events when using data power logging and there's no benefit to the hard mount, where there's going to be repeated tries in contacting the NFS server. Yes, Kathy, let's go to the next slide, please. This is just the web GUI. If you choose to have a log target, you can use the web GUI. You can specify the target type as NFS. Then you can see down below you would have your NFS static mount, which you have pre-configured, and then your NFS file path. Okay, Kathy, let's just go to the next screen. I just want to touch just briefly on file system access. If you have enabled an NFS static mount with local file system access through the CLI, and that's per that show NFS mount command, you can see the NFS mount that we have in place. The local file system access should only be used to test and confirm read-write access to a mount, as you can see in the middle of that slide. That's pretty much all I wanted to say on the local file system access. But why don't we go to the next screen? I think we're going to get to the precautions, Kathy.
Paul, I'll mention one quick thing real quick before we go forward, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Back on the URL open comments I was making about the URL syntax of the writing or reading from the NFS, if you turn on this local file access and you do as you look at the screen here, the middle frame, you see where you're in the config, and you do a dir to look at the directory listing, you can see a pointer to the NFS dash and then the mount name. In this case, it's lab 8. we never ever want to suggest trying to do a URL open using that syntax, using that. While it's possible, it does use a slightly different behavior underneath the covers, and it's basically what we can run into is in the case of this is if you have a questionable network, a overloaded NFS server, you have any miscommunications that could occur while talking to the NFS, we're again going to run into the risk of the blocking action where the appliance is waiting on a stat or a dir, you know, any type of NFS command to return. You want to limit your exposure to that as much as possible. So again, I just wanted to stress this local file system access, the directory usage, and how it really is only if you're working on this, it's really you're only going to see support suggest that you use this when you're using this in a test to get the mount up and running, to make sure that you've got read and write permissions, and to make sure all is well. It's an excellent tool for that very purpose. If you ever have a log target that won't connect, you can enable this feature, get the read and write to the mount working, figure out what the problem is, and then turn it off and allow the log target to run. Sorry, thanks, Paul.
Oh, thank you, Trey. Thank you for continuing on that.
Paul, if I can actually just jump in for one moment to talk about the B2B gateway for him.
Yes, sure, Matthias.
Great, thanks. I will keep this brief. There's just one point I wanted to make about B2B. Just to take a step back, if you're not aware, our XP60 and XP62 devices, they have a local storage for the data that passes through the B2B gateway service. And this storage is divided into two partitions, one that's encrypted and one that's unencrypted. And the unencrypted one is used to store non-confidential metadata about the traffic that's flowing through the device. The encrypted partition is used to store all the sensitive payload data, which is the off-the-wire inbound and outbound content files, and the as well as the MDNs and ACKs if you're using the AES protocol. So for this unencrypted partition, by default, Data Power XP will use the RAID on the device, but you also have the option in this case to configure NFS storing this unencrypted transactional metadata. And in this case, the pros and cons of using NFS versus the RAID basically boil down to a couple of major points. First of all, the RAID tends to be faster. There's a lot less latency from writing to the RAID than there is from going over the network in most cases. However, NFS does have the advantage for a HA configuration, high availability configuration. We've got multiple boxes. All those boxes can then share the same NFS mount for their transactional metadata. And in the case that one of the boxes were to go down, then the other devices will continue processing and using that same mount point, and that simplifies the recovery since all the metadata is stored in one central location. So I'm sorry, that's all I wanted to mention real quick about the B2B device.
All right, I'll take over on the precautions. And again, folks, please feel free to ask any questions on this. Any details you might have about this, about the precautions, or about about the suggestions we're giving, please feel free to speak up. When it comes to security, something I mentioned earlier in the pros versus cons is depending upon the protocol version, whether you're using NFS version 2, 3, or 4. It really wasn't until version 4 that the security layer was added to NFS for authorization and authentication. There is no, if you ever go and look at the RFC for NFS version 4, there is no hard defined SSL encryption of an NFS channel. So Data Power does not yet have support for that. It's simply not been defined. The normal RPC authentication methods are defined out there in the RFC, and we do support those. But at this time, there is no official SSL encryption of the channels. Best practice is to route NFS over a private interface, private network interface. This can that serve actually a couple of great purposes. One, you want to keep the NFS traffic over a nice low latency, unsaturated, low packet loss network. This tends to not be the interface that the client traffic is flowing over. More than likely, you have management traffic, backend traffic that's flowing over an internal network that has less latency, has less saturation of the network. That is usually the suggested best practice. It helps with stability. It helps with speed. It's always a good it's always a good safety net to add on to the NFS. Data Power supports mount as root only. That UID is defined on any of the NFS operations. It's a requirement of the appliance. We do read, write, modify, update files, so we do require that user ID. There is a tech note listed here, and one of the main things I'll always share about this tech note is we are always adding to it, updating it, depending upon the firmware version, new discoveries. We test a lot. We work very hard to vet out what we can and to test as many combinations here in the lab, but there's nothing quite like handing firmware out to clients and letting them test and come back to find out that 2,501 NFS mounts finds a problem. So we're always adding to this, and if you ever run into questions, behaviors, please feel free, like I said, to open up the TMR, check the Data Power forum. We're always watching that, always looking for findings, information, things that we need to know about. That's a great tech note to help you reduce these blocking impacts that we've mentioned. This tech note walks you through ways to avoid that. Well, not completely avoid, because there are going to be certain unhandled conditions that we can plan for the worst, but we may not be able to catch all of them. That tech note is definitely going to help reduce the impact, help reduce the memory impact, the appliance impact, help with the resiliency and interaction with the NFS server. It's a great tuning tech note that I highly suggest to use if you haven't already seen it. Next question, slide, please. All right, in summary, the stability of the NFS server is paramount. I cannot stress that enough. I know I sound like a broken record on here, but I will say that when we say the NFS server is paramount, it's not just the NFS server. You've got many layers between Data Power and the NFS mount. The NFS server that the NFS daemon is running on, the network link between Data Power and the NFS, packet loss is just as critical as the uptime of the NFS server. I will admit that there have been client situations out there we've run into where there has been a less than optimal NFS daemon being used for testing or for proof of concept work. And that simple NFS daemon running on a laptop somewhere just wasn't able to give the uptime and the resiliency that the appliance needed. And we continuously fought to understand why the appliance was reloading it. That situation does happen, so you have to keep those in mind. One more layer or link in the chain between Data Power and the NFS server, if you're using DNS, that is yet another action that has to occur before we can connect to the NFS. If using the, like I said in the bullet, if using the host name rather than the IP, then Data Power will have to look up the DNS host name every time we need to, whether the session, the host name is expired. We'll have to look it up, then perform the connection over the network and communicate with the NFS daemon. So each of these links adds to the stability. I can always stress enough that further testing of failure scenarios should be done in any environment. Quite often I do run into issues on the weekend where there is network maintenance being done, resulting in unstable links, and that does result in unpredictable responses and behaviors on the appliance. Just a quick little fun fact. There are 90 instances of the word should, but only 50 instances of the word must in one of the original NFS RFCs. So the reason I put that bullet in there, quite simply, one version version of NFS, such as version 2, on one platform may support TCP, while NFS version 3 is required on that platform to actually support TCP. There are differences in interpretations of the NFS RFC, just as there are with all protocols. So testing for negative scenarios, changing permissions, moving files, link interrupt, it's all key. So no two setups ever behave identical, in my opinion, from a support point of view. So, all right, Matthias, Paul, anything y'all might want to add on the summary? I think if we're good to go, then we can.
I think that's good, Trey. You know, again, with the log targets, you know, we don't recommend it as they're, you know, there can be some dropped events, so.
Yeah. Right, and Paul, you're right. I'll throw in one comment on that, too. Just to elaborate a little on the log target, NFS, is quite honestly, logging on a data power appliance, depending upon the log target configuration, we could be talking about 10 writes per second, or we could be talking about 1,000 writes per second. And quite honestly, the NFS protocol overhead to write to a file, validate the write, and then return and write again, if that can't happen fast enough, chances are good that the log target will overflow its log queue of events that need to be written. Messages will be lost. It's a helpful tool to be able to just mount a file system and look at a file on the fly, but it is not a performance-oriented method to handle a lot of logging information from an appliance, and I always stress to use true protocols that are intended for logging. Syslog is great. Local file system writes are great. File type log targets are great. They don't impact the appliance, and they don't give any concerns over the NFS instability affecting them. Sorry, if y'all could tell, I've given that speech a few times. All right, I think we're done with this slide.
Thank you, Matthias, Trey, and Paul, for that great presentation. We do have one question in the chat room. The question is, does Data Power do checksums during the transfer of the file? And this was submitted at slide 12. So I'll bring that up.
I think I can answer that one. No, we don't do checksums. When writing the data, if the file size is known, then we will stat after putting a file to check sure that all the bytes have made it there. But we rely on the NFS protocol itself to take care of the data integrity.
Well, at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us in the future presentation.